Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's Managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta can make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What is up, everyone? It's your good friend Patrick O'Dowd, joined for the first time in a couple weeks. The band is back together. I am joined by my good friend, the lawyer himself, David Ungar. And we are here bringing you another edition of the Four Corners Podcast. Four Corners Podcast is, of course, a part of the Chairshot Radio Network here on thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. And Dave,
yes, sir.
Here's my favorite thing about teams and you using the illusion background, showing your sparse office with a window, is when you move your head too far to the left or right, it creates this beautiful void where your microphone is, like the weird curvature in your face. It's quite funny. But it's been a minute since we've recorded a podcast together. So before we dive into sports and we can be sad about our baseball team, we haven't talked since the draft. We haven't talked since the MLB or the NBA draft.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
It's been forever.
It's been a couple.
So what have
weeks.
You been doing?
Not much, man. Sports wise, just kind of, you know. I mean, I enjoyed like the. As much as I could enjoy the Stanley Cup final, the way it turned out was not very satisfying. But
yeah,
the NBA finals were very entertaining up until the heartbreaking end for the Pacers there and the unfortunate stuff there. But you know, I kind of watching out of the side of my eye, football's getting ready to gear up. Training camps are just a couple weeks away from opening up. So you know, there is this lull that we get here between the end of the Stanley Cup and NBA Finals, and we've had lots of free agency news to talk about, I guess, from NHL and NBA to kind of, I mean, I say a lot, but it's I don't know, it's kind of quiet. I think there hasn't been massive moves.
This is the dead zone for sports. So the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs have wrapped up. The NBA Finals are wrapped up. We haven't hit the All-Star break yet for baseball, so we're not really into the home stretch of that. The season is just kind of going on. And, you know, Wimbledon is happening right now. And actually, honestly, it's an interesting tournament when you look at it, especially on the women's side, when four of the top five seeds didn't even make it to the round of 16. Like, that's unheard of. And Coco Gauff being one of them, she was booted in her second round matchup. Well, you know, French Open champ, not going to get a shot at a Wimbledon championship. So it's not that there's not anything going on. I don't know what's happening with golf right now. I mean, I'm sure somebody's golfing. Some NASCAR is doing its thing.
Yeah, golf's between majors right now. We're between the U.S. Open and the British Open, or I guess they just call it the Open now. So. You know, there's some signature events and players kind of breaking through and that sort of thing. I know golf did kind of change their format. I don't know if it goes into effect this year, but like the to determine the champion at the end of the season, the last few years, you know, you had the St. Jude Classic, then they'd whittle the field down, then you have the BMW, and then I think it was down to like the last 30 guys who would play at East Lake for the championship. And whoever was like the number one ranked golfer would start at minus 10. And then whoever number two would start at minus 8. And Scheffler, even though he won it last year, was critical of the whole thing. And I think they've scrapped that this year. And I'm not sure the format that they're doing. I'd have to look that up. But yeah, golf's interesting. Tennis, Wimbledon is always it feels like it's starting later this year. Wasn't it like the 4th of July? It used to be the big day for the men's final. And
Not necessarily. This feels about on track. It just, you know, we're old, so it's all blending together. We'll say that.
I just remember Borg McEnroe on the 4th of July.
So let's stop and think about what you just led there. Borg McEnroe. Do you know how many people know that are listening out of our like 15 listeners know who Bjorn Borg is?
Probably not, but they should. If you're listening to a sports-based podcast and you don't know who Bjorn Borg is, that's like... It's like saying, I don't know who Andre the Giant is or something like that.
Again, no, just kidding. He was a scary athlete, if I remember. Like, he just looked intimidating on the court.
Yeah, Borg, he had that
the big Swede,
the flowing blonde
big hair.
Yeah, and he was just devastating on clay and probably even better on grass. And this is back in the day, they're using wooden rackets back, and there's no graphite, you know, great rackets like you have now. I mean, these guys are doing him and McEnroe. I mean, yeah, it is aging me and that sort of thing.
Do you remember Yvonne Lendl?
Yes. Oh, he was tremendous. There were a lot of guys.
Big check.
Yeah. Lendl, Jimmy Connors. I mean, he was
Jimmy Connors
lights out as well. And Connors and McEnroe had a deep seated dislike for each other. I won't go so far as to say hatred, but there's a lot of dislike there between those two guys. But yeah, there was we used to go to Hilton Head, South Carolina when I was young. My folks had a timeshare down there and like they'd have the tournament and all the, you know, Roscoe Tanner was like, I remember this guy with his big booming serve.
Roscoe Tanner.
What a great name, right?
That is a good name. That's the kind of name you want on a baseball team.
Yeah. Yeah, really. Exactly. So, Wimbledon's always been like, it's always like my favorite tournament because there's not many grass tournaments out there. You know, good luck finding a grass court. You know,
they go through seasons, right? So you start in Australia, you do the Australian Open, then you head over to clay, you get the clay season. Where everybody's playing over on clay courts. We're now in grass season. We're going to be switching over to the hard courts as we get ready for the U.S. Open in August and August, September, whenever that happens. And it's just fascinating to be a Grand Slam tennis champion by itself is such an impressive feat because the conditions are so different from court type to court type. And you have to be able to play on all those. It's what, you know, people like Pete Sampras, back in the day, it made him all the more impressive that he could win wherever he wanted. Federer, all those guys.
Federer, like Borg never won the career Grand Slam because he couldn't win the U.S. Open. And I think like Sampras, I think he won the French like once and Federer got a couple of breaks and he got it as well. Because, like you said, it doesn't seem like when you think about it, it's like,
and there are people who are literally clay court specialists. Nadal. Like there are literally people that, Rafa Nadal quickly comes to mind. Like you just didn't beat them on that surface. And
it's weird. Like
that's
tough. The hard court seems to be the one that tripped a lot of people up, but it's funny. Like you look at like Borg, Nadal, Federer, Federer struggled on the clay courts as well. But like Borg and Nadal are the two come to mind who could transition from that clay to grass. I mean, that's like polar opposites when you're talking about playing tennis as far as how the ball comes off the surface and that sort of thing. But the women's side of things has been very fascinating. Nobody's getting through.
Right. Well, in some years that's why they play as they say, that's why you play the game, right? Like you gotta get out there and you gotta perform. And sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. So, all right. Since we've been apart, by the way, I missed our go around bowling very terribly in a tournament. It was for a good cause. It was for our local Veterans Association. But I was not good would be an understatement. I didn't even crack a 500 series, which is atrocious for a guy whose average is a 193, 194, somewhere in there. So to not crack 500 for three games is very bad indeed. I felt terrible for my teammate. He was in stride with it all. He was great, but life will move on. And then this week, just to tell you how this is, and I always compare bowling to golf in this regard, in that you could go to the exact same location, exact same course, or exact same lanes, different days. And on one day, you look like you don't know anything about the sport you are playing. And then you can turn around and look like fucking the Michael Jordan of said sport that you are playing. And that happened to me, Dave. I shoot this abysmal 470, 480 series in a tournament. Just awful. And then I go out this past week, same house, same bowling alley, same lanes. Now, allegedly, they had a different oil pattern up with a new machine. And I shot for three games per series. I shot a 733. I, both in one game and for series, missed setting PRs by two pins. My best ever game I've shot was a 278. I shot a 277. My best ever series is a 734. I shot a 733. It was just like, well, that's a, it was awesome. And also a little bit of, the other thing that was funny is when I didn't throw a strike, I had seven frames where I didn't throw a strike. Of those seven frames, I missed five spares. So think about how well I had to bowl to where I can miss five spares and still shoot a 277, a 254, and a 210 or 212, 202, something like that, to get my 700 series. I was a monster.
I feel your pain. I feel that high and that low. Like I went out to, on the fourth, we went out to play a course out here in Porterville, which is about an hour away from Bakersfield. It's a course that got, when we had like those 11 atmospheric rivers, and of course, thoughts and prayers going out to everybody in Texas, man, what a disaster that is. But
don't get me on a soapbox on that one, big guy.
Yeah. We had like that year that we had like 11 atmospheric rivers hit California, and similar sort of situation though. I mean, like you're talking about the thing in Texas, this river in Porterville, that's usually not that big of a problem, flash flooded and wiped out the entire golf course. I mean, like wiped out all of it.
Oh no.
So they rebuilt it. New owners came in.
So you're saying the fairways were a little different the next time you came back.
We didn't go back for 2 years because they had to, you know, they had to rebuild like most of it. And of course is in great shape. I mean, the greens are still kind of crappy, but we like to go out there and support the, you know, the renovation, the effort, because it is a really beautiful course. But yeah, I played there and like the front nine, like everything, like a guy I was playing with, these guys, man, you've got no luck today. Like everything would like bounce, kick into the sand, bounce, kick into the, like the rough, and the ball would, you'd like tracking the ball and then it's gone. And then the back nine was better. So I get exactly what you're saying. It's just, there's so much. Yes, it is skill. Absolutely. But there are elements of just, you know, like we talk with hockey, with puck luck, you know, something bounces one way or the other and the entire series changes. So,
yeah, it's why when I sit here and I listen to armchair critics of both professional golfers, bowlers, or any sport for that matter, people who sit, and I say this as we are on a podcast where we frequently criticize players when they don't perform. But, you know, for bowling in particular, it's really hilarious because the game has changed so much. And folks, I know this isn't what you expected on the Four Corners podcast today, Dave and Pat talking golf and bowling. But it is really fascinating. Like when you watch the United States, like the PBA, the Professional Bowlers Association, and there was this big story. So the US Open, the PBA US Open, a guy from New York, a random Joe who obviously, you know, bowls good well enough that he can be, you know, invited to PBA tournament events. But he literally owns three bowling balls in his arsenal for this tournament. And he won the U.S. Open and made all kinds of news because he beat, I want to say it was Anthony Simonson, who is one of the best bowlers in the game. And Simo had trouble in the tie-breaking game in the championship and this local guy win. And the amount of criticism that armchair bowlers were giving this guy saying stuff like he blew it, he ruined it. He was like, how could you not do this, this or this? And then you look at what their feedback is, and it's clear that these are people who bowl at their local bowling alley on the same shot every week, because it's a house shot, same house shot every week. They probably average 200, 210 on their house shot. Don't know shit from shit about changing lane conditions, because at a tournament level oil pattern, like, it's extraordinarily more difficult. That's why they have so many different balls that do so many different things. But two, like, he made a call and an adjustment. The adjustment didn't work. It cost him the game. But it's like an adjustment that every rational person who was watching the sport was like, yeah, that's what you do. And, I compare it to golf. I remember it was the U.S. Open, which I know the U.S. Open is a golf course that gets intentionally designed to ruin professional golfers. Like, they're fast greens, tough lies. Like, it is built for high score, and it comes through. And I don't know if that's good or bad for the sport, but I know that I couldn't go out there and shoot 100. I couldn't shoot 150 on a U.S. course.
Shoot 100
if I had unlimited golf balls. And so it's hilarious.
As good as Tunney is, he would be challenged to break 100 on a U.S. Open course. And I think he'd probably be the first one to tell you that it would be tough for him. I mean, he may be in the 90s or something like that, but, yeah, I mean, those courses, they're designed for one specific purpose, and that is to challenge the ultimate challenge. But, you know, then you get a bunch of courses that are like, you know, waste management in Arizona, where you could shoot, you know, collectively minus 30 for the tournament or something like that. So, yeah, it's interesting how they set up certain things, especially like, you know, I mean, you know, but you get that in pro sports. I mean, each stadium is designed, allegedly, to play to the home team strengths and to the nuances. And I know how this board is going to come off, or this puck's going to come off this stanchion. Okay. Good luck with that.
That's the thing. Like, baseball, it's funny you talk about pucks. I think about baseball, right? Every park is its own unique and special snowflake. And on some level, a lot of people will say that is a, you know, part of the charm of the game. But and I agree. I am one of those people. I love that Fenway Park is shaped different than Busch Stadium, and is shaped different than Yankee Stadium, and is shaped different than Dodger Stadium and Chavez Ravine and all of that. Like, I love that. But I also get why I drive some people nuts. I love why people understand the concept of football or basketball, where regardless of what they do to dress up the field or the court, it's not like when you go play the Commanders, the field is shaped octagonal, but then you go over to St. Louis, I'm just making up cities here, and it's a triangle, stuff like that.
Right. I mean, there's certainly, as we know, there's subtle differences from arena to arena for whatever, you know, lighting, certain things. I mean, whatever the hell the case may be, but yeah, sure. Nothing is as distinct as baseball, where, you know, in some stadiums, left field is shorter point to get out. Some places going to be right field. You know, there's going to be just different things about a Wrigley Field, you know, dealing with the ivy and what that entails and that sort of stuff. And the Green Monster in Boston, like you're saying. So, yeah, baseball is unique in that each stadium has a definite different feel.
Remember the original, was it the Marlins Stadium? The original Marlins Stadium that had the fish tank in the backstop or something?
Yeah, Arizona still got the pool, right? They still got the pool out there.
I should ask DeMarco that, because I do remember, and seeing as this is where we've gone today, we'll have a little fun exercise. We're gonna take the big four and we're gonna talk real quick about them. I do remember when I went, the thing that I took away from going to see the Diamondbacks game was that was the first ballpark where I genuinely felt like somebody had built a shopping mall and put a baseball diamond in the middle of it. Like, I just remember being like, this is weird to me. And I don't know how I felt. I didn't know how I felt about it. I didn't hate it, but I was like, is this baseball? Like, modern, is this baseball?
Different stadiums, though.
It's the modern stadium. Oh, yeah, 100%.
All in one inclusive environment, you know?
And it was, I got into a message board argument. This is what our first segment has turned into today. But one of the, on this message board, they do a weekly off-topic topic. So it doesn't talk about anything that has to do. It's in Illinois, University of Illinois message board. And the off-topic topic was like favorite venues or best venues that you've been to. And for me, and I feel like we can do this for, we're going to do this for all four of the big four sports. And the fourth one, in my opinion, is hockey. So kids, it's going to be a hockey arena. And I mentioned that I loved my experience at Fenway Park. Now, I will also say that I paid the money to go with my buddy and sit three rows behind home plate. You could see me clear as day for the entire Cardinals Red Sox game that I was there. And I got a backseat view of a Nolan Arenado home run over the Green Monster. You like backseat view of seeing pitches come in and just how amazing it is that somebody can time that up and hit it. Like, how do you do that? It's amazing. It's ridiculous. Watching a major league slider or a major league changeup followed by a 102 mile an hour fastball. That's fucking amazing. But I loved the charm of that ballpark. You know, St. Louis will always hold a special place in my heart because I'm a Cardinal fan and I've been to that stadium many times. But the charm of being nestled in the heart of the city, Fenway Park, was a great experience. In terms of NFL football stadiums, I like, and it's going away and getting torn down, I like the Chicago Bears Stadium. It's going away, but and getting relocated someplace more convenient at some point. Though that talk keeps going back and forth, but I like the Chicago Bears Stadium. There's something about the United Center when it comes to basketball, and you know, again, this is a product of being a child of the '90s and Michael Jordan coming out to Ricky Steamboat's music. But and I don't care what anybody says, Ricky had it first, and. Let's see. And then that brings me to hockey. The Garden, Boston Garden. Like, again, I love, Garden. Yeah. Yeah. TD Garden is fine. And it is still something special to see. Like, I'm not a Boston fan, but you can respect seeing the banners, you know, respect fucking Celtics. But yeah, the old Boston Garden. Give me those old bandbox, sweaty, miserable, hot as fuck stadiums. Still have never been to Yankee Stadium. Want to go someday.
So, okay. So we're given our big four. These are places we have to have gone to or just in general?
I think you can pick anything. Yeah, I don't care. I mean, because after this, I'm going to give you one honorable mention of a stadium I've never been to, but I think is gorgeous.
For football.
Ever feel like your WordPress site is moving in slow motion? Switch to Kinsta's managed hosting for WordPress and watch it fly. Host your site on Google Cloud's fastest servers with worldwide data centers so your pages load instantly. Need help? WordPress experts respond in under 2 minutes and will migrate to your site for free. Try it yourself. First month free at Kinsta.com. That's Kinsta.com. Kinsta. Simply better hosting.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Yeah, I mean, for football, there was nothing like RFK Stadium. I mean, back in the day when the Redskins were good, like really, really good, and that stadium, to be there for a game with only 55,000 people, and I, you know, I cannot wait for the rebuild to be done, because that team needs to be back in downtown DC, not Lambert. But yeah, I mean, when you were there, like the entire bleachers would rock up and down with people jumping up and down, and it was, and visiting teams would say it felt like the fans were right on top of you. That was a real home field advantage for the Washington Redskins, and that's why they were dominant for a decade. You know, that sort of thing. Baseball, I, you know, like I've never been to a Dodgers game in Chavez Ravine. I've been there for like a concert. I'd like to see what the Dodgers are like. I've been to the Angel Stadium. That's pretty nice. The old Memorial Stadium in Baltimore was a dumpster fire. There's no other way to put it. I think like out of all the stadiums I look at and say, that's the one I really want to go to. Fenway would absolutely be at the top of that list just to see all that history. And I
will just say, if you are going to go to a baseball, if you ever make it to a baseball game at Fenway Park, do get seats out of the grandstand, because the seats in the upper level can kind of suck. Like obstructive view being, you see no baseball.
Yeah. Basketball, like, I mean, the only place I've really been to, like the old Capital Center, or Capital One Arena as well. Went to, you know, I've been to crypto.com, Staples Center, whatever the fuck you, they change all the time. I think in a perfect world, I would have loved, like you're saying, Boston Garden back in the day when the Celtics were, when Bird, McHale, I'll go with that era because that's the one I kind of grew up with, Bird, McHale, Parrish, when the Boston Garden was just like the place to be. And I mean, and it was a house of horrors for teams like the Sixers, like the Pistons, when they were trying to become, you know, when they were on about to establish themselves and they couldn't get by Boston in the Garden. I would love to have seen that. In hockey, as much as it pains me to say this, Madison Square Garden would have to be. I've been, I don't think I've been in the Madison Square Garden for a hockey game, or any game, actually. I don't even know if I've ever been to, I think I've been to the Garden once for something, but I don't remember. But as much as I despise the Rangers, and that's a deep-seated hatred, I think seeing a hockey game with the Rangers actually being a good team at Madison Square Garden, that's kind of the mecca, you know, that sort of thing. Either that or like the old Forum in Montreal. Now that would have been something. I mean, now you see
that's
how
fair.
You see how crazy they are at Bell Center now. Imagine the old Forum in Montreal.
Without a doubt. So other stadiums that I love, and I'm going to start with Kansas City. The Kansas City Royals, Kauffman Stadium with the fountains and the waterfall is it's a shame that the Royals play there because it's a beautiful, it is a beautiful ballpark and totally worth it. And here I'm going to give a shout out to Tunney's Brewers, but not for their current stadium. Because one of my other favorite experiences was Old County Stadium. The Brewers, like, again, I don't know why it was so charming, but, like, you go to this ballpark and you're like, ah, this place is kind of a dump. But it cost $5 to park back when I went and saw them play the Cardinals. It cost $5 for bleacher seats. Bernie the Brewer still slides down a slide through balloons out of a beer mug, and that was hilarious. You got to watch the sausage race. People are betting on the sausage races. Like, it was just, it was a fun time. It was back in the days when it still felt like the Brewers were sort of this pseudo minor league team playing in the majors with just sort of the shit that goes on down around there.
I will,
good stuff.
I want to give a shout out to the Rose Bowl, because I've been to the Rose Bowl a lot of times, and I've been there for UCLA football. I was there for Super Bowl 17. That's an experience that will never be matched. I've been there for concerts and stuff like that. You know, they've renovated the stadium and dropped the capacity for football down by like 30,000 to 40,000. Cause like for the Super Bowl I was at, it was like 103,000 people were there. And now when UCLA will sell out, there'll be maybe 75,000. So they've done a lot of, upgrade, and they needed to. The stadium needed big upgrades, but
yeah, that stadium,
it's
charm nostalgia can only take you so far.
It does, yeah, and there, and don't get me wrong, it has got gobs and excess charm and nostalgia, and it is a beautiful stadium, and it's in a really interesting place in Pasadena, you know, because it's at the bottom of this private neighborhood in this valley, and it's that stadium is really, really cool. And like SoFi is not bad either. You know, I've been to SoFi for WrestleMania and a couple concerts. And, you know, I know the Chargers are going to play the Commanders there this year. And I'm really thinking about, okay, I probably need to get there for that. But that wraparound ring, video ring that they have at SoFi is really kind of cool. So I think that's another one to kind of keep your eye on.
Very cool. Very good. Okay. So I'm calling an audible here because we've gone on and on and on, and now we're, you know, about 5 minutes away from show end, and we didn't take a commercial break. So I will trust you to find a, well, we know that the system will find a spot So I just want to apologize.
I can manipulate the system again. We're good there.
Dave's gonna do his best to manipulate the system so the commercial break, that when it interjects itself in the middle of our podcast, isn't too awkward. I am gonna take a moment here to just be like, you know, as I mentioned before, we are a part of the ChairShot Radio Network here at thechairshot.com. We remind you to always use your head. Please remember to to head over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and invest in one of our many beautiful ChairShot shirt designs. Help us stay on these interweb airwaves. And Dave's just going to stick the commercial at the end of the show. He'll play like one of our ChairShot commercials at the end of the show. That way we pay the bills and we worry about that later. Dave don't have to do too much fiddling. I did want to talk a little Major League Baseball. You know, I got the standings up in front of me right now, Dave. And I know you have nothing to watch when it comes to baseball.
I'll say this: the Nationals aren't going anywhere. The Orioles.
Yes, because there's nowhere to go but up.
I mean, I'm just saying they're not going to go anywhere. The Orioles may have been written off a little bit too early because they're playing much better baseball. I think they dug themselves too big of a hole to get out of it. But yeah, I mean, you look at, they're about to sweep the Braves and, you know, and they just got, they made a trade with the Yankees, which is like, okay, for a catcher. And the Braves are struggling. I know that, but
The Braves, it's funny. You talk about, these are two of the most disappointing teams in Major League Baseball for the season. Absolutely. There were a lot of expectations for the Baltimore Orioles and the Atlanta Braves
World Series prediction.
Everybody and their brother. And it's so funny because, you know, we're not national media guys. Obviously we're not writing for Sports Illustrated or Sporting News, CBS Sports, any of those sites, The Athletic. And the number, like, one of the popular things that these publications do is they put out power ranking. And every week, you know, who's climbing up and down the power rankings. And it's very much a prisoner of the moment thing. But the fact that the Atlanta Braves continue to be like way high up in power rankings, higher than they have any right to be based on the results they're putting on the field, is hilarious to me, just given how poorly they have performed. And again, they could turn it around, and everybody keeps saying this. Like, this is a team that is 10 games under 500, and they keep getting love because folks can't wrap their brain around this idea that maybe this year the Braves, for whatever reason, just don't have it.
I got to read this, man. I agree. The Braves don't have it, but you're going to love this. Please tell me
it's illustrating my point.
No, it's something completely unrelated to sports, but I have to read it for you anyway. And I want people to hear it because it's sad but funny at the same time. So I get this stuff coming in from Substack on various channels and things. Breaking: a MAGA fan just got attacked by an alligator after pulling over to pose for a photo in front of the alligator Alcatraz sign on the highway leading to Trump's new concentration camp, and will need to have her leg amputated. Just good God.
You know, It's hilarious. It's not, you know, I hope the woman survives. I hope she's fine.
I do too.
But that's, it's very like, serious. Like, your leg's getting amputated. But, and we're not going to go too deep into this, but also you reap what you sow. I want to talk about a couple other things with sports before we go. So the Dodgers are cruising with their multi-bajillion dollar payroll. Does Colorado, a year after Chicago set the previous Major League Baseball record for fewest wins in a season, break that record as it is currently sitting? They're sitting at 20-69. Nice. 20-69. That is not good, Bob. Not good. Are they so terrible that their run differential is -231?
Staggering.
-231.
How do you get what? The A's are
almost 100.
Yeah, the A's are -130. That's,
yes, and they've won 37 games.
Your guys, your Cardinals are in the wild card right now, tied like a 4.
They're okay. So here's the thing that's nuts about the Cardinals: the Cardinals, who are 4-6 in their last 10, going into a series deciding game as we record this tonight against the Chicago Cubs. The Cardinals are in this period right now of, like, and I've said this before, they just I need them to lose baseball games because this well, and here's why. Let me explain why. I'm happy that they're doing well. I really am. They're exceeding expectations by quite a bit. Like, they were not supposed to be an over 500 team that, you know, took two of three from the Dodgers. That, and, you know, I sent my parents to one of those victories, actually. That was their 50th wedding anniversary was this past June, about a month ago, actually. And my brother and I went in and we paid for, like, the big catered luxury seats and all this stuff. And they treated my parents really well. Like, they showed some stuff of how those folks were to them out there. But this was the team where John Mozeliak, who is going out the door, general manager, who has far too long sort of rested on how good the Cardinals were a decade and a half ago, and has been complacent to the point where the Cardinals stink and fans have abandoned this franchise. The Cardinals and the Cubs played a series in St. Louis the week prior, and they split that series 2-2. The Cardinals were 4.5 out at the time. They stayed 4.5. Since then, they are now 5.5 out, because after winning the first two games of the series against the Cubs, they then failed to score a run for like 28 innings and got shut out back-to-back games by the Cubs, then proceeded to take on Cleveland. I think they swept Cleveland, then went to Pittsburgh. 27 straight innings, Dave, without a run scored going into the series with Chicago. The first game in the series against Chicago, they gave up 8 home runs to the Cubs in Wrigley. Just get thumped. And then on Saturday, this past Saturday, Cardinal Devil Magic their way to an 8-6 win over the Cubs, meaning that when they're on ESPN tonight and I can watch them, I'm not going to, because it'll just piss me off. And the reason I want the Cardinals to lose is because this middling, not making the playoff sort of ball that they're playing right now, because they're in the wild card hunt, but they're not, you know, they're not in a great place. They're a game and a half behind Milwaukee. Is a place that is where franchises just go to stay middling. And you're trying to rebuild your farm system. You have no true starting pitching. You have no real you have no offense to speak of. They do not hit with power at all. And you saw the stark difference watching the Cubs hit 8 home runs while the Cardinals looked completely lost. And then, like I said, on Saturday, kind of lucked their way into an 8-6 victory. So that I get to be like on ESPN tonight, well, maybe we could take a series from the Cubs in Wrigley. I don't think we are. I mean, the Brewers fans want us to, because the Brewers fans are losing right now, or they were losing. If I saw the score right as we were here on Sunday, but it's early because it's
Brewers
the early
fans
afternoon slate.
Losing just kind of.
Oh, it's still 0-0. Did they lose yesterday? Maybe they lost yesterday. Maybe that's what I saw.
I want to ask you one thing before.
Sure.
Two teams tied for the best record in baseball. Who would you take right now, Detroit or the Dodgers? Because Detroit scares the shit out of me.
Detroit, because they've been consistent. Yeah. The Dodgers, I mean, the Dodgers have the best lineup that money can buy, but I'm going to go with the crazy consistency that the Detroit Tigers are playing. And they're playing in a weaker division. So if you're looking at how it's going to play out through the rest of the season, when they're backloading the season now with interdivisional games, and your biggest challenge is the Minnesota Twins at 43-46.
12.5
like,
games.
The Twins back. Are in second. They're 12.5 games back. Like, the Tigers have such an easy schedule that they are definitely in a more advantageous place to finish with the best record in the league this year. Does that mean I think the Dodgers are a worse team? No. I think the Los Angeles Dodgers are far superior team. But I think that looking at their schedules, it favors the Tigers to have a better record at the end of the season. And as we all know, once you get to playoff baseball, the records matter, but they don't. The Cardinals have, like, I look back at the years when everybody hated the Cardinals, and the years they won the World Series, they'd be like 87-82. or something stupid like that. Like, they just wouldn't, they wouldn't be all that impressive, but somehow double magic their way to a win. And then, you know, years were, you know, that when they had that murderer's row of Pujols, Edmonds, Larry Walker, and they didn't win anything. Or sorry, yeah, Pujols, Edmonds, Walker, like, they didn't win anything. So, real quick, he's pretending like he's not on the show, but I'm going to make him answer the question that we asked earlier in the show. So, Tunney, we got into kind of a wormhole today. Welcome, everyone, PC Tunney, to the Four Corners podcast. Dave and I started talking about our favorite venues for the Big Four in sports. So and it doesn't have to be a venue you've been to. It helps, obviously, if you have. But your four favorite venues for football, basketball, Major League Baseball, and hockey, though I know you're not as big a hockey fan.
I have not been to any other venues, to be honest with you. I've been to, really? You know where I've been? You know where I've been?
Milwaukee.
One of the shittiest venues. I've been to Soldier Field. It sucks.
It's so funny because I love Soldier Field. I love
you know
it.
What?
And it's because I'm a Bears fan.
You know, I like what they did in the hallways with like the nostalgia and things like that. But like,
they're going to get that new stadium though at some point.
Yeah, and it needs to be on the lake and it'll be great. I'll just sit here and say that Miller Park is nice, or AmFam Field is nice. Pfizer Forum is amazing. The Kohl Center in Madison and also Camp Randall are really nice and fun. But truly, folks, like walking, not onto the concourse, but like up the concourse and into the entranceway to walk out to where the seats are at Lambeau Field. And for the first time, seeing that field in person as you walk out and see the bleachers and the field and everything that it is, it's just I got the rock shit going on here with the goosebumps. Just thinking, tons of times, but I can still remember the very first time I seen the field inside the stadium with my own eyes.
Like his description of it, remember in Rudy, where Rudy's dad goes to Notre Dame for the first time and he sees the stadium and he says, my eyes have never seen anything this beautiful.
I'll never forget it ever. And I've been there when it's snowing. I've been there when it's 85. So it's been there at night. I've been there during the day. They're all great.
I can confirm that FedEx Field is nothing special.
See, the funnest thing too, is for people that don't know, like you're going to drive through a neighborhood and then all of a sudden there's Lambeau Field. Holy shit. So it's great.
That's very similar to both Wrigley and Fenway. Is you're just in the middle of the city doing, you know, going along, and then there is a baseball stadium.
All the old stadiums just like, right, like that, right? I mean, they built the city up around the stadiums, not plop the stadium in the middle of the city, right?
Seems well, more so with baseball than anything. A lot of the stadiums, right, obviously, in the team's history throughout the early, you know, 20th century.
Sure.
But, and yeah, as things modernized and they started, you know, those stadiums became a bit more work to put together and to find a place for them. That's changed. I did say this, I'll say this one more time. Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City, I think, is an underrated ballpark in terms of aesthetic and beauty. And it's just a shame that a team like the Royals plays there, because it's a beautiful ballpark that unfortunately does not have the strongest team. So, all right.
Great shortstop.
Very great shortstop. All right, we are going to make our way out of here. That is going to do it for this week's edition of the Four Corners Podcast. Thank you jumping in for a hot second, PC Tunney. Dave, before we get out of here, tell everybody where they can listen to you on Chairshot Radio Network.
Yeah, you can follow me on X and Blue Sky at Attitude Ag. That is at Attitude AGG. Facebook.com/Attitude of Aggression and at Attitude of Aggression, all one word, on Instagram and Threads.
And you can follow me on all of your socials at Wrestling Realist. That is at WrestlingRealist. You can catch me every Monday, Tuesday, and some Wednesdays on the Chairshot Radio Network. Mondays, talking nerdy stuff with Dave and PC Tunney and Ray Cash, and sometimes that guy DJ from the Mindless Wrestling Pod, and who knows who else we'll bring back or bring in. Tuesdays, Dave and I talking Four Corners, talking sports. And then Wednesdays, when Greg DeMarco doesn't go to Disneyland, we're talking wrestling on the Greg It's the Babyface Heel podcast. You know what the heel part of the podcast is? Is Greg changing the fucking name of the podcast every 5 days. Anyway, it'll be back to the Greg DeMarco show eventually, I'm sure, because I'm just going to refuse to call it something else. That's going to do it for this week's edition of the Four Corners Podcast. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Now, remember, enjoy this commercial break that we didn't take in the middle of the show because we forgot. So it'll come at the end of the show. And we'll catch you next week on the Four Corner Podcast here on the Chair Shot Radio Network, part of the chairshot.com.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.